Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Scott, it's a time for a podcast.
Oh, that was unexpected.
Yeah, that wasn't very good either. But hey, can you guess what that was? What accent that was? That's not the way I really sound.
Oh my gosh, I'll guess. You know what? I do know Italian. It was Italian.
It was, and sorry in advance to any Italian listeners. We're just having fun here. It's another great day at High Speed Stuff. We've got some pretty cool things to talk about, Scott. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a lot of very interesting Italian car manufacturers, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there are a lot of supercar makers are Italian. In addition to that, there are just some, I guess, more pedestrian versions of cars. You know, the Fiat, and they're just it doesn't have to be supercars, but you know, that just happens to be where several of them come from. Yes.
Oh yeah, and those have a great reputation. So, how far back would you say Italians go with cars?
I would say way, way, way back.
You mean like the 1900s?
No.
Earlier, later?
Earlier.
Earlier. Mm-hmm. 18-somethings?
A lot earlier. Which you're going to be shocked by because, well, we know the first car was sometime in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Right around, actually, 1885.
All right, consider me interested. Listeners, you can't see this, but this is my interested face.
That is interested, yeah. It actually dates all the way back, and you're going to hold on to your socks, Ben.
Where are they? Hang on. Okay.
1478. Now, if you're going to say, well, cars weren't around 500 years ago, right?
Well, let me get to my line. Hold on. Cars weren't around until 500 years ago, right?
I was guessing, yeah. The thing is, it was just a sketch. It really wasn't. It wasn't ever produced. It wasn't built. But there was one man, Leonardo da Vinci, who sketched a very primitive version of an automobile.
Leonardo da Vinci sketched the automobile, a version of the
automobile. Well, a version of. It's not really what we think of as a modern automobile, but, you know what? In a way, I guess it is. It kind of is. It's more of a self-propelled cart, really. But you got to remember that in 1478, this had never been done before. This was all new. So up until that point, vehicles were all powered by, you know, by animals or by people, I guess. You know, people pushing vehicles, or gravity, I guess, would do it as well.
Right.
But this was a self-propelled cart that he designed, and you know, it just sketched it. It was never, like I said, never built in his time. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later, but. Never built in his time, but it was proven to function.
Crazy, because he built, if I'm correct, he sketched quite a few things that were never built in his time.
He did. I guess maybe we should talk about who he was, really.
Oh, yeah.
And what what he's responsible for, or, you know, what he's capable of, or what he was capable of. He has a long list of professions, I guess. He was a jack of all trades, a Renaissance man.
Renaissance man,
you knew I was getting to it, right? Anyways, he's always like way, way ahead of his time with everything that he did. But when we're saying Renaissance man, what we mean is that he did everything.
He had multiple interests and areas of expertise.
That's right. I'm just going to go down the list here. He was a scientist, an inventor, an artist, a sculptor. He was an anatomy expert. He was an engineer and an architect. And I think he did things like, you know, fish tank repair and a little bit of plumbing on the side.
Yeah.
And he was also
now he's into movies.
but he did, you know, some of his famous paintings. He did the Mona Lisa, The Last Supper.
Sure.
He sketched the Vitruvian Man, which was, you know, the anatomy of man, really.
I mean, on the cover of every anatomical textbook.
Correct, yeah. See, I mean, you're familiar with it, but remarkable person, really.
Sure.
He did a lot of things. And among those was the sketch of the car.
That's so crazy. I mean, Does this guy not already have enough? You know what I mean?
He needed to add to his resume, I guess.
My gosh. Da Vinci, can we have one thing?
You know, there's actually a whole list of things that maybe we'll read later that, you know, inventions that were, again, far ahead of his time that, you know, either were proven to work or not work, but, you know, at least he had the thought. And, again, this is, you know, 500 years ahead of its time. So
well, we can run down a couple of those. if you want. Just put it in perspective.
Well, just so you know what he was up to. I mean, he sketched all of these. He sketched the parachute, the tank, the steam engine, the airplane, submarine, helicopter, which he called the aerial screw, I believe.
And that's named for the type of propeller it had on the top. Not, you know, he wasn't making some sort of lewd joke.
I'll buy that. All right. So he also came up with the idea for the odometer, which, you know what, just going off my memory, I don't have a note about this or anything, but this was some sort of a wheel system with gears and holes, and it required the person to drop a pebble through holes that would line up at certain points, and then you would count the number of pebbles to determine how far you'd traveled.
That's so crazy.
Really, it's very primitive, of course, but you know, that's the early odometer design.
Wow.
And let's see, also came up with a canal dredger, which was important at the time, you know, because you needed a way to travel and via water. And the paddle boat. That's another one of his designs.
The paddle boat?
The paddle boat, yeah. Up until that point, I guess everybody had been going with the current.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a way to fight upstream, I guess.
So this guy is really, it's no exaggeration when we say he's ahead of his time. When you consider this is a man in 15th century Europe who is thinking of things that mainstream science wasn't even really messing with till much, much later.
Oh, it was a long time later. And, I mean, just think about 500 years prior to the first automobile. That's a long, long time. And I know we keep calling it automobile, and it's sort of is, sort of isn't, but the thought behind it, that, you know, something could move on its own without a human pushing it, without an animal pulling it, that's pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah, and when we say that it's a sketch, you know, it's easy to say, well, I could draw that. Somebody sometime before him surely drew something like that. But this, when we say this is a sketch, this isn't just, you know, an artistic depiction. This is a really detailed version, right?
Correct, yeah. And you know what? As a matter of fact, it's detailed. It did have one area that was kind of a mystery, though, and that's actually the holdup of why it wasn't built until it was after 2000. I'll tell you that right now. It was built in 2004.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
They really built it?
Yeah, it's really been built. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag there, but I guess maybe we'll get back to that in just a moment. But there was a
that cat is long
surprise.
Gone, my friend.
Surprise! Now, it was built, but there was an area that was hidden, and it was in the sketch, and it was enclosed. And for the longest time, they thought it was a leaf spring design that was hidden within this box. Mm-hmm. What it really was a coil spring, and that is what stored the energy to allow this thing to move. So just by figuring out that was a coil spring that's supposed to be within that box, that's what led to this thing being able to be produced.
Now, here's the big question. Mm-hmm. So, okay, they built it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, we've got one more cat in this bag.
Yeah.
What happened after they built it? You know, did it work? Did it not work?
It actually did work. It truly did work. But now they were actually afraid that it was going to have too much power, too much stored energy when they released this thing, because it was pretty big. And I don't have the exact measurements here, but it was decent size. But what they did was they built a 1/3 scale model, just to make sure that it wasn't going to be too dangerous once they released the pressure on this thing. It wasn't just going to either destroy itself or just take off, because it was pretty substantial vehicle, heavy. And so they built the scale model worked, and of course then the real model worked. And they found out that the sketch has the idea for a real primitive version of programmable steering. So this cart that's now self-propelled, the design, remember, 500 years ago, has programmable steering, which I find that remarkable.
Well, break that down real quick. Programmable steering, what exactly do we mean?
Well, it's pretty simple. That all it means is that it can travel a certain distance and then turn. And I don't know if it can make multiple turns or just one turn, but according to notes, it can only turn one direction. It can only make right-hand turns, but still, we're talking about, again, 500 years ago, someone thinking that far ahead. And it's accomplished by just using wooden blocks and allowing the vehicle to travel a certain predetermined distance and then turn. So it's you can calculate exactly how far it goes before it turns. But it can only turn right.
That's nuts. I guess that's why it didn't get built, you know, because it's useless in a race.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you have to turn left all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we turn left here in the States, but
We do. I'm sure that's NASCAR, what he was worried about when he was designing it.
Yeah, I'm sure he was thinking of NASCAR.
He was thinking centuries ahead into the future.
Yeah, I'm positive of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it's pretty remarkable. This thing, it's currently on display. I'm going to read here, the Institute and Museum of the History of Science, and it's in Florence, Italy. And, you know, that's the group that built it, of course. They were, again, it was in 2004, so you're talking 500-plus years before this thing was actually put together.
Man, I would love to see that thing.
I really would, too. I've seen photos of it. I don't know if I should even say it's impressive or not. I don't know if it is. It just looks like a cart. It looks like a wagon. But just the idea that this thing can move itself and the time frame in which it was designed, that's the most impressive part. And it's a three-wheeler, Ben.
It's a three-wheeler?
I forgot to mention this part. Yeah, it's a three-wheeler. We had talked about three-wheelers in the past. It's a three-wheeler.
Oh, no. What if he's ahead of our time, too? What if we're just another part of this, this space between Da Vinci and the modern age?
Yes, I mean, that's pretty remarkable, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because we talked about three-wheelers in the past, and that's actually a pretty good design. So, another move.
He is my pick for someone to survive a shipwreck with. You know, he would get us off the island.
I think he would, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'd be Gilligan, though, but I'll live with that. So, since we're talking about racing, I guess before we wrap this up, We got a pretty good listener mail today, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We got a listener mail from Gary, and Gary lives in Ireland. And Gary said that he listens regularly, and he caught the bit about pit stops, and he was watching the British Formula One Grand Prix, and they had a little section about how the pit stops work. And we just talked about them, so you know, this piqued his interest. He said he actually gave us a link to a video on YouTube, which shows 26 people in an F1 pit stop crew,
and shows them actually doing it.
Yeah, you've watched this. Now I haven't looked at it yet. I'm going to as soon as we leave here because I love Formula One, and I think this sounds right up my alley.
It's super impressive. Gary sent an awesome video in, so thank you, Gary, because those guys are not playing around. Now, remember, at first, I was a little bit skeptical about having 20-plus people fixing a car in that short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they are not playing around.
Yeah, because what kind of time were we talking? It was like 7 seconds or something,
yeah,
wasn't
it's
it?
Like a, it is like a machine. Mm-hmm. It's like, seriously, an assembly line that happens to be using people as parts.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I was every time I watch F1, I'm blown away by the precision that those guys exhibit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm really interested in watching this video today. I think it's going to be worthwhile. So thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. And, I think that's about all I have about that.
Yeah, and so again, thanks to Gary, and thanks to all of our listeners out there and everybody who's writing in. We sure do love listener mail. If you have an idea for an upcoming podcast, or if you have any suggestions for us, please do send us a line at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.